Miss our children to their children's church. Our scripture is still in Exodus. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall not steal. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So in 2011, I was sitting in the living room with my dad watching the television while we waited for the bus to pick us up because I had a baseball game on that Saturday. And we were watching the Major League Baseball Network. And my mom would probably tell you that when I was growing up, the TV was rarely on anything other than baseball. And the commentator started talking about a news story involving pitcher Mike Leake of the Cincinnati Reds. Leake had been arrested at a Macy's for stealing $56 worth of t-shirts. Mike Leake had been drafted by the Reds in 2009 and had received a $2.3 million signing bonus. And here he is taking things from a department store. And needless to say, I was livid. And I remember looking down at the uniform I was wearing and thinking, I've played baseball for 10 years. And I've never once gotten paid for it. And here this guy is. He gets paid to play the best game in the world, a game I've loved since I can remember. And he still wants more. I remember looking at my dad and saying, how ungrateful can you be to do something like that? My dad just shrugged his shoulders because he understood a lot more about the human condition in the fallen world that we live in than a naive freshman in high school who spent more time with his head in the clouds than actually down here on earth. And it's with that same naivety that we might approach this commandment saying, I don't steal other people's stuff or take things from stores, so I have everything I need to know about the eighth commandment. But I'll remind you for the eighth time now, the reason why we're doing this series on the Ten Commandments. We aren't looking to check a box by saying that we obey a specific law. Instead, we're looking at each of these laws to learn something about God's character and how God desires his people to interact with each other. That's because we understand that fundamentally these commandments are about how God treats us, how we treat God, and how we should treat each other. And while most of us probably haven't stolen $56 worth of t-shirts from Macy's, we do need to take a deeper look at this commandment and ask God to give us eyes to see and ears to hear his will for our lives. So the Hebrew word that is translated steal seems to have been intentionally used to include taking things by force and by using cunning or deceit. So while this literally means to not take other people's things, it's also used to highlight any form of dishonesty, manipulation, abuse of power, or greed. And since the fall of Adam and Eve, when they chose to sin, sin entered our world and has resulted in our being bent towards taking and stealing. And I think this became clearly apparent to me when I started working with children, because even the sweetest, most well-mannered child steals goldfish crackers from the cabinet when they think that I'm not looking. And I think that's the reason we have to focus so hard on teaching kids how to share, because without realizing it, they desire to grab at things and to get what they want. And even though we've grown into adults, sometimes I don't think that we're all that different. And if we aren't careful, we become obsessed with taking as well. We give so much effort to getting, taking, and using things without realizing the harm that it does to ourselves, our world, and our neighbors. Using power, aggression, or manipulation in order to get what you want often leads to a stolen dignity, a false self-worth, or worship of things other than the God who created us. Our society has taught us to get what you can, to keep going until you've reached the top, to be at the front of the pack, the top of the class. And yes, God has dignified us by giving us the ability to work for what we receive. And he wants us to do our best in all things. But we need to understand that the kingdom of God works differently than our broken dog-eat-dog world. And I'm going to talk today about three concepts that will hopefully help us learn to be careful not to take things. The first is that everything on earth and in heaven belongs to God. And since he's taken the time to create everything that we see, it's not our place to take anything. We need to remind ourselves that our physical possessions, our job, our family, our mental capacities, and our ability to do what we enjoy is a gift from God. So that breath that you just took without realizing it, the heartbeat in your chest only exists because God's immense love for you. And understanding that God is the reason for what we have allows us to replace our pride and striving with gratitude. And instead of being so focused on how we can get ahead or get what we want, we should stop, take a moment, and say, "Wow, God, I am so thankful that you've given me what you have." So until I started writing this sermon, I would get so angry that a song from VeggieTales frequently gets stuck in my head. And one of the lines in the song says, "A grateful heart is a happy heart." And I think that this song might have been implanted in my subconscious as a form of conviction. And I know it sounds crazy that God used a cartoon singing blueberry to show me that I don't spend enough time living in a spirit of thanksgiving. But he definitely works in some mysterious ways. But nevertheless, the song is right. Gratitude breeds contentment, and in turn shows us that we don't have to be so focused on taking things. Second, we're to understand the insignificance of earthly things. The things of this world will eventually pass away. And because of that, we're to keep our eyes on Christ and his work and let the things of less significance take their rightful place. So you've probably seen Christians list off their priorities in a specific order. Like they might say, you know, God comes first in my life, and then my family, then my job, and then my hobbies. But I had a professor who showed me a different approach. Instead of a bullet point list of priorities, he drew the word Christ in the center of the board and circled it. And he told us that Christ is our center, our starting point, our everything. And from that circle, he drew what looked like little streams flowing from Christ to things written in much smaller print. Things like our families, our jobs, and our material possessions. And my professor taught us that allowing Christ to take the center stage in all aspects of our lives is what makes those other things worthwhile. So keeping Christ at the forefront of our minds allows us to love and care for our family well. Focusing on him and his desires allows us to see that our job is a gift from God to provide for us and an opportunity to share the love of Christ to the people that we work with. It's when we move away from Christ that we become obsessed with stealing. Kids can become trophies to show off to other parents to hide some sort of insecurity, taking the joy of parenthood and replacing it with perfectionist tendencies that get shoved on children. And when we're taking, jobs are only for getting as much wealth, power, or prestige as possible, often stealing opportunities from coworkers who are no longer seen as valuable members of the team. And if we aren't careful, friendships can be about how well someone steps up when you need them, and we take away the opportunity to see our friends' struggles as well. But Jesus calls us to be different. Our eyes are looking forward to the redemption of all things. Christ came so that all things would be made new. and we get to live eternally with him. But the work that he wants to do in and through us starts now. He wants to redeem and heal things now. And when we let God take control and we have a kingdom mindset, the promotion doesn't really matter if it makes us a horrible spouse. A new car is foolish if we're getting it just because we want the neighbors to see us driving it. Even a joke isn't worth telling if we desperately hope our friends will think that we're funny. Because if we have our trust in God, once we've surrendered our lives to him, we don't have to manipulate, obsess over, or steal the things that we want. The eternal Son of God has given us an opportunity to live a life full of his mercy, power, and love. So we don't have to be so concerned with getting everything that we want. The third principle is that we are called to give. And I think the best example we have of this is Christ. Philippians 2 tells us that Christ emptied himself. And what this means is Jesus, the Son of God, stepped out of the portals of heaven to be born as a helpless infant, a humble birth in a stable. And he gave up his rightful place in glory to come and live in a broken world where he experienced pain and suffering. And he maintained that humility in which he came into the world through his life and ministry. In Luke 9, we hear, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus ranked himself with the disenfranchised and poorest people. He gave food to the hungry. He gave sight to the blind. And he gave hope to the hopeless. And the culmination of this life of giving is seen on the cross. Crucifixion is a horrible way to die. And Christ gave his life willingly in order to bring salvation to the world. And as Christians, as imitators of Jesus, we're called to live to give as well. Being focused on taking or getting what we want creates a cold attitude towards those who are downtrodden or less fortunate. And that's why giving is so important. Because when we give, it allows the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and change us from people who are obsessed with stealing into people who are more focused on Christ and his mission. The mission of loving God and our neighbor rather than being self-centered. So instead of longing for a more extravagant, exciting, or popular lifestyle, we should ponder on how we can use what we do have to improve the lives of others. And instead of taking control of the conversation, give your ears to listen more than you speak. Instead of stealing joy from others by making sure everyone knows that you're right in a disagreement, give it a rest. And if your brain does not immediately think of a way that you can practice giving, you're in luck, because this church has some awesome opportunities for you to do that. Because we believe that the Holy Spirit has given each of us gifts, abilities, and resources to use in ministry to the world. And Chris has told me that one of his favorite conversations to have with you is when someone comes up to him and tells them that they're passionate about this one thing. They feel gifted or called to do this specific thing. So when someone comes and does that, what they're doing is they're being the hands and feet of Jesus. And there's no more exciting thing. And we would love to talk to you about those specific opportunities. So please come and find us later. But Ephesians 4:28 says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." So let's ask God to help us to stop taking, to help us not be so obsessed with getting what we want, and to turn to a life of giving. God, we thank you so much that we're in this place. And we humbly come before you saying that we need you. We desperately need you. And we're asking now that you would change us from a people who are so obsessed and concerned with taking things and getting what we want. I pray that we would be more focused on what you want, that we would do what you would have us to do, and that your will would be done far ahead of ours. So God, we surrender to you, and we're saying, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your power, that we can be the people who you want us to, that we can be the people who give lavishly. And God, we thank you for your example. And Christ, I pray that example would be the forefront of everything that we do, that we would always remember the sacrifice that you made for us. So God, be with us and help us to do this work of yours. We love you and we